We're checking back in with John Yaswinski, Executive Director of Father Bills and Mainspring, to get a little update on how they're coping with the COVID-19 pandemic, and also they're preparing for a kind of a different food fest this year. Hey, John, nice to see you.
Thanks for having me, Joe. Good to be seen.
yeah, always a pleasure, virtually or otherwise. But this is the new way we need to communicate these days. How are things going at the shelters?
You know, we're in a much better place than we were a few months ago. You know, our frontline staff has really stepped up during this crisis. And so, you know, at the shelters in Quincy, at Father Bill's, we pivoted to opening up the field house at the South Shore Y in early April. And we really thank the South Shore Y, Paul Gorman and Trevor and the whole organization. So we were able to move a lot of our elderly people, a lot of people with compromised immune systems over there, and allowed us to do the proper social distancing. So in Massachusetts, those population shelters across the state have had about a 33% infection rate, but by having the Y and also, the city stepped up. The mayor really helped us. We've been in a few hotels in Quincy also. We were able to separate everybody, and our infection rate is only at 6%, thankfully. So really unbelievable response, you know, by the city and by our providers. Managed Health done a tremendous job testing people. Cynthia over there, the CEO, has been wonderful. So really a team effort.
That's fantastic. Now, is that shelter still up and running there at the Y?
So, you know, the Y did get the ability to start to open up. So towards the end of June, we had to move out of the Y. And so now we are over at the Best Western and the Howard Johnson's in Quincy. So this is, again, allowing us to, you know, we usually have about 135 to 140 people at Father Bill's place. And really with social distancing and the CDC guidelines, we shouldn't put any more than 55 to 60 people there. You know, so we're using those motels for hopefully the foreseeable future, as we don't want to have major outbreaks, especially as we approach the fall and winter season.
Sure. The Howard Johnson's, I heard. What's the other one that you mentioned, John?
The Best Western, the Adams Inn area there.
Okay.
Yeah, so we're really appreciative of the city and the mayor. We're kind of partnering with them with the FEMA application, and been able to have a response there to really keep that infection rate down. And it's not just for the homeless population. It allows the whole community to be healthy, so people aren't roaming the community with the virus.
Right. Are you seeing, you know, new people coming to the shelter as a result of the pandemic?
So what we haven't been able to do, and we'll be doing it, is during the crisis, because of our infections, we haven't been able to take new intakes yet. So what we're doing is we're working with the state, we're working with our healthcare providers. So hopefully in a few weeks, we can start to take new intakes. We just needed to shore up. What would the process be? Do we have the proper testing to have somebody come in? We don't want somebody that has it to come in when everybody in the shelter now, we just tested everybody. We didn't have any infections. So we're just trying to balance that. But absolutely, we are getting a lot of calls from people in the community that are in need. And we're starting to see more people outside in our communities. And that's our biggest concern, is what's the future ability for us to shelter everybody if we don't add other sites. You know, I also think that the eviction moratorium has really helped. The state has said, listen, we're not going to allow landlords to evict people right now. And that's really saved us. I think once that starts to change, which I think potentially could change this summer, we could literally be seeing maybe a 20 to a 30% increase of people in need. So,
yeah, we'll see the additional unemployment benefits also come to an end the end of July, which I'm sure will put a hardship on people too.
Yeah, no. I mean, you know, this has been a tough time to house all of our guests during this crisis. But the team, you know, we still have been able to house more than 50 people from the individual shelter over the last 3 months, even during the pandemic. So, again, we've been still being able to stay operational. We've, you know, had a lot of staff that haven't been able to come to work, have either been positive or have family members that they're concerned about. So it's been a tremendous challenge for us.
Yeah. What's the situation in Brockton? I know you had set up some tents as temporary shelters there.
Yeah, it's a different situation. We're back under control there. But in Quincy, we were able to depopulate quickly. In Brockton, we weren't able to find any place to get to soon enough. We did bring in MEMA tents, so the state helped us, and we put about 4 tents up, allowed us to shelter 60 more people out of Mainspring House. But our infection rate at the high was over 31%.
Wow.
Thankfully now we just retested everybody out of the Mainspring shelter, and out of maybe 100 people, we had one person positive. So we've now moved out of the tents. The tents were a good emergency, maybe for a few days or a few weeks, but not for a few months. So now we're also renting out a motel in the city of Brockton also. And in the town of Plymouth, we've had an overnight in the churches there, and we've been using a motel down there as the churches were, everybody was uncomfortable being in the churches too.
So. Sure. I know at the outset of this, your personal protective equipment supply was being strained. How is that looking now?
It's great now. It seems like, the first couple of weeks, we did not have enough masks. We did not have enough sanitizer. The community's really stepped up. So many people made masks. So we're in a really good place with all of our supplies, thankfully.
That's good news, certainly. Obviously, July would traditionally be your annual food fest and auction, your signature fundraising event for the year. It's taking a little different twist this year. Tell us what's going on.
Yeah, I mean, we had to cancel our food fest, but at the same time, these COVID expense costs are costing us an additional $300,000 a month, of which, we're looking at about $125,000 must be met privately. So the food fest used to bring in $350,000 to operate all these other sites and to keep people safe and healthy. It's been a tremendous challenge. So as an alternative to the food fest, we're launching our Campaign for Hope. And this campaign, our initial goal for the campaign was to raise about $500,000. But now we've been, really surprised and fortunate that a lot of our Food Fest supporters have stepped up and contributed more. So we've already hit our goal, but knowing that we didn't know if July, August, we'd still be in the motels. We need to be in the motels. So we're continuing that campaign through until the end of July. So, but there are a lot of organizations, corporations, businesses that have been supporting us for, 20 plus years that can't support us because they've been impacted greatly. So we completely understand that, but I'm very blessed by the outpouring of the support. And the other piece of this with the Campaign for Hope is we had 2 longtime donors of ours generously offer to match during the month of July, dollar for dollar, up to $100,000. Wow. So if anybody gives a dollar, it's going to get matched, and you're going to get $5. So, this campaign, as tough as it was to cancel Food Fest, we've really seen the business community and the individuals that have supported us really step up and lead to help us. So people can go to our website at helpfbms.org and learn about the Campaign for Hope. But we've been able to pivot pretty well right now, and we'll still have some online auctions during the last week of July. We're having a lot of things with the restaurants kind of virtual to promote that. They've been such long-time partners with Food Fest.
Okay, so it's just totally online this year. There's no physical activity happening.
No, and we didn't even think about rescheduling it. We our event has been our restaurants, and they've been one of the hardest hit industries.
True.
And so we just felt like we're going to have a campaign where we reach out to everybody that's been a guest of the Food Fest, that supported Food Fest, and say, hey, help us this way, help us with supplies in kind, help us with money. We're all in this together.
Yeah. What year would this have been for the Food Fest, John?
Yeah, it would have been our 26th year. Yeah. So that it's amazing. And again, it's our signature event, and it's always our favorite time of year, where it's a real morale booster for our company and our agency to see all the people that support us, because at the end of the day, it's a very tough mission.
Yeah, I couldn't help but wonder, you know, what Father Bill would have done in this situation when there was no internet availability. You know, how he would have handled this.
I think he still would have, he wouldn't have been able to go to the people's businesses, but he probably would have drove to their homes and sat outside and talked to them through the window.
I think you're probably right. That's absolutely what would have happened. He would not have let it go, for sure. He would have done
something. Not at all. Yeah. I know one of our biggest needs right now is we're in need of our prepared meals. So one of the things that we've lost is, you know, 90% of our meals at Father Bill's place were covered by volunteer groups. And, you know, through this pandemic, we've canceled the volunteer programs to keep everybody safe. And, you know, volunteer groups, faith groups haven't wanted to come in, which is, you know, we are keeping our distances. So, you know, if people are interested also either to contribute or bring meals, you know, people can go to our website and learn about the volunteer opportunities there. And people can reach Marianne Mendez in our organization. She's setting that up, and we'll bring the meals to the sites that we're at, or people are dropping them off at the hotels and people can coordinate. But that's our biggest need right now is meals.
Okay. I know that typically you do get some help from the grocery stores in the area too. Has that continued?
Oh yeah, it's continuing, but just to know we're at so many different sites and so many different, like I said, it was just always a huge in-kind for us. So.
Sure. Okay. It's good to know. At the beginning of this too, I remember you were actually hiring. You had some employment opportunities. Is that still the case?
We are still hiring. You know, we've hired actually, a lot of people, but by spreading out, you really need more staff. And so, if people are looking for, you know, part-time, temporary, or permanent, we are looking at trying to get more people in to help us right now. So definitely on our website at helpfbms.org, you can find out about those opportunities too.
Great. So, I mean, the bigger picture here, John, is that there were plans for the shelter to relocate, basically, you know, across the street on Broad Street in Quincy. What's the status with that?
Yeah, I mean, you know, we've had a really great communication with the mayor and the city, and their plans are to continue to move forward with the police headquarters, and so we're working very closely with them to relocate across the street, as you mentioned, to 39 Broad Street. And we're working with their team, meeting with them monthly on the plans to be a part of the development. And so our goal is not to build another shelter, but it is to build what we would call a housing resource center, mm-hmm. That would offer prevention and diversion, rapidly rehouse people, but still have emergency shelter beds at that location, but also build about 30 units of permanent supportive housing. And so we're very excited about that. And hopefully the project will be moving forward over the next couple of years.
Is there a separate fundraising campaign for that specific project?
So, you know, once we know that this is a definite go, and probably as we move into the fall, we will have to raise private money and probably be kicking off a capital campaign for the project. We are working with the state, as it will be a public-private, you know, funding sources that come in and help us out.
Okay. So it's still on the table. It's just been pushed off a bit.
Yeah, it's everything kind of got delayed just to make sure that we're taking care of everybody's day-to-day needs. So.
Sure. What are you hearing from your colleagues across other parts of the state as to how they're coping, John?
You know, the biggest concern right now is if everybody has to depopulate, right? So at Father Bill's in Mainspring, we still need to serve about 275 to 250 people in the winter. How do we do that? Our buildings probably will lose half the beds. And what's the long term across the state? It's over 1,000 beds that we need to worry about where the people are sleeping outside in our community. So right. I think the real concern is that we're really talking with the state to say, what is the game plan? You know, how are we going to stay depopulated? And you know what? We should look at this as we should never go back. having people sleeping on the floors in close quarters in big congregate sites. Mm-hmm. So, you know, for us, we're going to try to stay committed to staying depopulated. We don't want people sleeping outside. And at the same time, asking the state to help us, not just with funding the depopulation that's needed, but really the long term is, can we get acquisition money capital to buy more and build more housing? Are there motels that are maybe not going to make it, and could they be converted to housing for the single individuals? What a great pivot that would be. So, statewide, we're looking at working with the state and saying, what's the strategy? And I know that, a bunch of us have been meeting with them and say, here are some things we could all do together, but really concerned about how we're going to balance the public health issues of keeping everybody safe, our guests, our staff, our volunteers, but also the community. But then also, why do we have people aren't sleeping outside, and what's the response?
Yeah. How did the closure of the public schools impact what you do, and the possibility that there may be some kind of a online or at least a hybrid fall school schedule, and you're concerned about young people? I know you've seen an increase in younger people dealing with homelessness.
Yeah, I mean, our youth homeless young adult 18, 19, 20 is one of our fastest growing populations. Yeah. And I think a lot of times, even the kids that aren't necessarily with us yet, that not having that structure, not having that ability to go somewhere during the day when maybe home isn't the greatest place is a real concern, a concern in a variety of levels. And I think the other thing is on the family side, what we've seen even with our shelters is the kids that aren't going to school, that they're spending the majority of their time now in a shelter. And the kids, it's like not having that break of something like, okay, when they go to school, they forget about being homeless, for a few hours. And those and what's that doing to them and stuff like that. And more people find out that they're homeless because it's like, oh, everybody's having play dates and going to their houses and stuff like that. So it's really hard across the board, I think, for a lot of the parents and the children that are with us right now to not have that structure.
Sure. All right. Anything else is important right now, John, you think we should let folks know about?
No, just again, we really appreciate the support that we've gotten. We've had some great Quincy businesses again that have stepped up this year, the Arbella Insurance Foundation, Blue Cross Blue Shield, Cashman, our great friend, attorney George Burke, as always, Quincy Mutual, South Shore Health, people coming together saying, well, let's come together and help people that are in need. So we're really thankful for everybody's support.
Sure. And again, prepared meals is your biggest need right now.
Prepared meals is our biggest need. Yeah.
Okay. And the campaign for hope, is that just ongoing? Is there dates?
We're running it right till the end of July, kind of through to what Food Fest would have been. So we're kind of working it through the end of July. So if people want to go on our website, learn more about the volunteer opportunities to give to help us in our food program, what our items in need are, or the campaign for hope, and the matching gift is a huge piece of it too. So
sure. And would you need auction items at all, John, for the online auction?
Yeah, we're definitely looking for things there. So people can always call us at 508-427-6448, connect with our development office to find out about those opportunities, and they can also see that information on the website.
Okay. Great. Good to see you, John. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Joe, for giving me the opportunity to share what's going on at Father Bill's in Mainspring. Thank you.
Anytime. We're here for you. Give us a call, and we'll get the word out for you.
All right. Thanks, Joe. Take care.
Bye-bye.